Okay, we'll now open it up for just a few questions, maybe about 5-10 minutes. Yes.
Program going for drugs? Against drugs? Yeah, we are definitely against drugs. Our main thing is we think we'll have to unify masses of people in the black community, and we also think that black people will have to begin to move to get more representation in some of the local city council structures to transform the structures. That is, when you hear us say that we're going to work within the system, that doesn't mean we're going to want to take orders from the bosses of the system. That means we want to go in there and work against the corruption in the system. And so to work against the corruption in the system and with some more representation, we think we can make more viable programs against drugs on a massive scale. On the free health clinic level, we don't necessarily accept the methadone because that makes robots out of people. We don't necessarily accept a lot of things, but the one main thing that we'd like to do, presently we try to do, is work in conjunction with other type of crash drug programs, but it's ideological remolding that's necessary to get people not to be drug addicts, you know, or turn away from being drug addicts. And that's about the closest we've gotten to helping people out on the drugs spread it throughout the country and throughout the world, or what have you. We don't make no arguments or bones about this marijuana kick. We're primarily concerned at this point, I guess you would say, with the hard, addictive drugs like heroin and things like that, because we've seen too many black people really messed up on most of those drugs. And too many people got too much controversy and argument about marijuana, so I don't even mess with it myself, you know? Another question, please. Yes. First, the word split has been played up by the press, S-P-L-I-T. The Black Panther Party calls it a defection. Not so much a defection from the Black Panther Party on the part of Eldridge Cleaver. There's a book out coming out on Eldridge Cleaver that you should read. It's called Hidden Traitor, Renegade Scab. But when we say Hidden Traitor, Renegade Scab, Eldridge Cleaver, that's the name of the title of the book. But when we say that it was a defection, it was more so a defection from the basic desires and needs of the people in the community. And you start saying it's a split between Eldridge Cleaver and the servant of the people, Huey P. Newton, not necessarily so, not in the sense we look at it. The press played up that all the chapters and branches on the East Coast was that. Not true. This man right here is in charge of the Washington, D.C. chapter, the Boston chapter, and the Connecticut chapter, and we have people in China right now from some of those chapters. And the Baltimore chapter, all of those chapters and branches are all together, have been together since all that argument. And a lot of people have left the party in the past. You know, 5 or 6 leave, they got a right to leave if they want to. It's just that he had a little notoriety with a book he wrote, Soul on Ice, that is limited in any scientific real analysis as we reanalyze it. And we let it go as that. And cut the argument. If we sit there and spend too much time arguing, we wouldn't be able to put our energies into really unifying and organizing the people. Question? Yes. What kind of stuff do we have on EOP? What is EOP, please? I really don't know. Educational Opportunities Program? I don't know. Last thing I heard of those E's was Economic Opportunity Council in Oakland when I was working on a survivor program. I have read somebody, but I'm very sorry. Maybe I can answer the question later on in the party newspaper at one point, but I really don't know too much about the EOP. Unless you're talking, you're not talking about Reagan's welfare. The ripoff that Reagan's giving. Oh, you guys getting ripped off by Reagan? Yeah. Oh. Oh, well, I guess the best way I can relate that to is all that history up and down the street. Oh, by the way, we don't advocate spontaneous riots. Somebody said that I was going to come here and tell y'all to riot, which is a lie. We don't advocate spontaneous riots because of our experience in the past with, you know, 200 black people get killed and 300 get arrested, 3,000 get arrested, and all your potential for organizing and developing something that's viable and constructive for the revolutionary struggle or liberation in the future is gone. So we do not advocate riots. Yes. I took it very good. I liked it, you know? But don't get the wrong idea. I still think it was unjust. I still don't think there's no justice. I don't believe there's still no justice in the system. They shouldn't have had to been subjected to the concocted operation in the first place, just like I shouldn't have been subjected to it. You know, these guys, the reporters asked you, now do you think there's justice in the country since you've been acquitted? I said, look, man, I put 2 years in jail in prison for nothing. Erica Huggins put 2 years in jail in prison for nothing. Huey P. Newton, the servant of the people, put 3 years in prison for nothing. That was what was unjust. And what's most unjust about that kind of activity on the part of them is that most of these prosecutors, under the guise and operation of the state, are looking for a lot of political leverage, and they're going to make me be big political prosecutors and, you know, get their political seats and their political positions for prosecuting people. At the same time, the fear campaign operations, you know, black revolutionary this, very revolutionary this, etc. But the Soledad brothers in general, I still think that it was unjust for them to even be subjected to the situation. I still don't believe there's any real justice, quote unquote, in this country on a massive scale. I don't believe it. $77. Man kept in prison because he was accused, and we don't even know whether he did it or not, the way they run it down. $77. Can you imagine that? If we'd only had a survivor program then, I mean, what could $77 buy? I mean, maybe a pair of pants and some shoes and some clothes, etc. I think that a man like George Jackson, even as young as he would have been, that brother, field marshal in the Black Panther Party, he's a member of that. $77, that's all I can say, man, and forced to stay in prison for 10 years. That's cold. Yes. I can't hear you, please. Would I tell you anybody reasonable to vote for president? Was that your question? I don't know why I'm sitting up here, standing here like I'm thinking of somebody, because I'm not. I would like to make a note to everybody. We have the chief of staff, David Hilliard, who's presently a political prisoner. If you've not heard of him, he's a top administrator of the Black Panther Party. He's one of the chief administrators. Huey P. Newton is the chief theoretician, and the responsible members call me the chief organizer, and we call him the chief administrator, you know, of personnel and all the places. We need him out here very bad for organizing the survivor programs. And by the way, the first survivor program we had, the Breakfast for Children program, was really initiated, administrated, and put together, you know, by the chief of staff, David Hilliard, and myself. He's in prison now. And we would like support for him and all the people in the black community and all political prisoners. And we hope that people find out more about the prison situation and really focus in on it, because it's a wretched situation that most of the prisoners are subjected to. It's rough in trying to get those prisoners to unify, you know, because they keep playing that white-black game. The administration plays the whites against the blacks in the prison. You know, you don't know nothing about this, but this is a true fact. But I just wanted to mention that note about our chief of staff, David Hilliard. We want to free him. And if anybody will buy the Black Panther Party newspaper, remember, when you buy the Black Panther Party newspaper, the quarter goes back to the survivor program. You're helping us buy fat grade A chickens and all kind of groceries and stuff, wholesale stuff like that, and farms. Oh, in the future, I wanted to say, we're going to put some farms together. And those of you who want to come down during harvest time and help donate some things. No, I spoke to 17,000 yippies, hippies, and you know, I really constitute most yippies and hippies as poor people, not all of them, you know, really. But I spoke to 17,000 of them in Ann Arbor about 5 months ago, all in one big whop. John Lennon was there, I was there, had a big program. And all of them hit the floor when I told them that if you can go to Cuba and cut cane, I know you can come back down here and go to the People's Free Farms or the People's Free Food Program and help harvest food for a month or two and come back, you know, in the summer or whatever, so we can have big diesel truckloads, you know what I mean? And give away crates of groceries and potatoes and lettuce and all these kind of things, you know what I mean? To the People's Free Food Program, 10, 20, 30, and 40,000 people at a time, you know, the poor, oppressed people in the communities. So I wanted to let you know that. Next question, right quick. Yes. Yes. You said Mao Zedong said in order to get rid of the gun, you must pick up the gun. How would I react to that statement? First thing is the emphasis is, well, he had another statement too that goes along with that. He used to say power grows out of the barrel of a gun. But when he put the emphasis on grows. Now, some people as revolutionaries took the idea that the gun is the power. It is not the power. The real power is the people implementing and beginning to control the institutions in the community and also implementing institutions and making those institutions serve the basic desires and needs. That's real people's power. But when you pick the gun up, like I said, I would pick the gun up to defend my right to nail the nail in the wall of the medical health clinic if I'm unjustly attacked in the process. You see, in other words, I can defend my right to end the oppression. I can defend my right to build the free medical health clinic. I can defend my right to drive a big truckload of diesel truck, two, three diesel truckloads of food in for the People's Free Food Program. You see what I mean? So we would have to defend our right at that point when racist policemen or other racists attack us and want to stop our programs. Our politicians are using some slick method to do this. You see what I mean? Only in that sense. You see what I mean? But in the final analysis, the masses of the people have the right to defend themselves, but they're defending themselves so they ultimately can get rid of the gun. But watch this here now. If the people really can get some good, solid human candidates, revolutionary candidates, into a lot of the offices, take a city like Oakland, you can cut the budget of the police department in half. Therefore, you cut half the guns out of the community. In other words, they got 1,800 policemen. They used to only have 450 when the party first started. 1,800 policemen, and 90% of the policemen patrol the black community. So you cut the budget in half. So you see, the revolution goes in a lot of different ways. If you can get the good revolutionaries, all the radicals, all the blacks, all the poor oppressed people, and all the other people who've got good human sense to vote one way, we'll chop that up. And then when you cut that budget in half, you take those funds and shoot them back to these viable institutions in the community, you see me, which is tax money of the people. And then you cut down the stealing and the thievery, stuff like this, if you got a viable educational program to go along with that. You see what I mean? So in one sense, I would pick up the gun even to defend my right to vote. You see what I'm talking about? Now, the right to vote might help me if we can unify the people to chop the budget in half and we'd be getting rid of the guns at the same time. Some of them. Ultimately, the people would vote out the need, vote out, you know, any guns in the policeman's hand anyway, after you educate the masses of the people to understand all of that in a human sense. Okay, we're going to have to go. One more? I don't know. I couldn't say for sure. I hope that the sister is set free. I really do. I really, really do. Yes. Socialist Workers' Party? I ain't got no position. One more, brother. I really can't hear you. Would you speak up? It's not my feeling alone. We have responsible people in the party. All it means is that we will extend Central Headquarters into Atlanta, Georgia. We're not leaving Oakland, San Francisco, and Berkeley. That's all it means. And a few officers, a few responsible party members will go down there to Atlanta, Georgia. And we already have a branch in Atlanta, Georgia that's a year old. That's all it means. Are we going to have to go? One more. Please. Legal counsel, your friend of yours in Berkeley is giving legal counsel. By who? Yeah, we have a lot of people. We have a survivor program called a legal aid education program. You know, like I tried to defend myself in Chicago, remember? And a lot of people who go to courtrooms, and a lot of black people and poor pressed people don't even know what waive time means. I don't think most of you in this room might not know what waive time means in front of a judge. But once a person stands up in front of a judge and the judge peers down through his glasses and he says, do you waive time? And here's this unknowledgeable person of the law, unknowledgeable of his rights, says, yeah, I waive time. What happens, he's just put himself in jail and they can hold him there 2 years before he get a trial. Have you heard about this before? People sitting in jail for 2 and 3 years. So our legal aid education survivor program is one thing. If you can get people to relate to that, we would like those people to contact the Intercommunal Survivor Committee to Combat Fascism in Berkeley. But I think we got a roll now because we're running behind time. And, well, thank you and all power to the people, okay? Power to the people.
Thank you very much for coming.